Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's No Filter Friday today. We want to hear from you. What has really ticked you off this weekend or this week? I want y'all to let us know. Got a lot going on. First, let me say congratulations to the Tulane Green Wave. If you didn't see that game last night, oh, what a finish. One of the most incredible finishes I've seen in college football ever. Congratulations to each and every one of the members of that team. You know, the receiver makes this catch. His dad is actually an assistant football coach. He came here from another team and makes this last catch at the end of the game. Just absolutely incredible catch. Breaks two tackles and runs free for a touchdown with 3 seconds left and 3 seconds on the clock. Pulls it off. Tulane, big win over Houston. Also this weekend, obviously, LSU at Vanderbilt. The Saints out there on the West Coast playing Seattle. The Fried Chicken Festival starts today, noon to 9 p.m. Tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. And Sunday from 11 to 8 p.m. out at Waldenburg Park, the Fried Chicken Festival. Harrah's is having a 7 stars parade to celebrate their 20th anniversary. With us. And that parade, you can see details on the website. They are going to be in the downtown area. We've got a great show. We're going to be talking to Mike Dettillier about LSU and the Saints. We're also going to start talking to Alan Waddell. I don't know about you, but prep football is one of my favorite things to watch. So I decided let's start talking about prep football. Those games are incredible. A lot of talent this year, a lot of competition this year. There are a lot of great games coming our way. So we'll talk about that on Fridays as well. Got a special in-studio guest, Tim Duffy. He's a firefighter from the New York Fire Department, is in town for the annual 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb, fourth annual actually. And the event director, Neil Navarro, going to join us in the studio. That event is going on right here in this building, 400 Poydras Avenue. You got to come out and cheer and rally on the firefighters and law enforcement guys that and ladies that participate going up. I don't know how many flights of stairs. I want to say it's 16, 17, 18 stories here. And carrying the backpacks and everything else in memory and in remembrance of the heroes that gave their lives running to, not from, to the danger. Walking into the valley of death. And let us never forget those men and women that day that were there to try and save the citizens in those two towers and what's ultimately happened. And Tim Duffy happens to be, I don't know if you remember this iconic picture, the debris is still flying in the air. And he's coming to the scene on the fully dressed out in his uniform and his firefighter uniform on his Harley, driving to the danger, not away from it. It's an iconic picture, and we'll have him in studio as well. And our thoughts and prayers go out to all of the folks that are still dealing with the aftermath of 9/11. And Tim talks a lot about PTSD for the first responder community. And it's an issue that we really need to talk more about. So I'm going to start off New Filter Friday talking about the thoughts and prayers. It seems as though CNN reported on a recent study that was done by the Proceedings of the National Academy of the Sciences, and they surveyed both religious and non-religious people who had been personally affected by Hurricane Florence in 2018. And what they wanted to try and find out was what their thoughts were when strangers offer their thoughts and prayers to the victims in the wake of a disaster or a tragedy. So what they found, obviously, was those that were of Christian faith really appreciated it. They understood that and they welcomed it. However, there was a surprising result that atheists and agnostics would, you know, maybe just be indifferent about it because they don't believe in prayer. But to the contrary, they are completely averse to prayers. They don't want you to even think about offering a prayer for them. So the result is that maybe we, before we offer, should think about who the target person is when sending thoughts and prayers in the wake of a hardship. As not a citizen of Woketopia, I think I'll just continue to send my thoughts and prayers to all of the victims of tragedies, no matter their religious affiliation, race, gender, age, sexual orientation. For me, it just comes from a place of sincerity, obviously, concern and compassion. And so for me, I think if you don't want them, just drop it and move on. But to say, start identifying who the target audience is. So do I need to go through the list of victims and do some investigation and due diligence on who has a religious affiliation or not before I can issue thoughts and prayers to the victims of a disaster or a tragedy? I'd love to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. We can't even do overt gestures now that are well-intentioned, that come from the heart, that exhibit compassion, that you just want people's lives to be where they were before the incident, to understand that we are a compassionate group of people that really care about others, to reach across all of our differences. Can we not just take these overt gestures for what they are? Kindness. Kindness. Forget about the fact that we can't reach consensus or we're not willing to compromise. Now kindness is a problem. And if you're not kind in the right way, what is it? What's next? What next is going to be a problem for us to articulate? When I read this article that was reported in the Washington Examiner, I just couldn't even believe it. I was kind of like, you got to be kidding me. So now the religious affiliation or lack thereof needs to come into consideration before we send our thoughts and prayers. And we've heard this in other contexts, in gun control issues and mass shooting. I don't want your thoughts and prayers. That's very surface level. I don't know. Let's go to David on the causeway. What say you, David?
Thanks, Sheriff. Every day I go and I think I'm going to hear the most ridiculous thing each day, and I think you just said it. I mean, I fully agree with you. We're just offering thoughts and prayers, and it's sad that people actually are doing research on this, and I'm sure probably taxpayers maybe paid for that research. That's just ridiculous.
It's funny, and I didn't mention that, but you're right. Your observation is, why are we even researching this? This is, and obviously because it has become such a problem for a selected few that they're offended that we say thoughts and prayers. So just don't hear the prayer part and take the thoughts. But
yeah, it's just common sense. Like you said, you just try to be sincere in a tragedy, and we got to take it that deep to look inside who we're actually sending the thoughts and prayers to.
You know, I mean, I guess before it's all said and done, we're going to have to go through a colloquial cleansing. We need to go through the entire Webster's Dictionary. We really just have to get English straightened up because it's all crooked. It's just not right. It's not working for everybody. So we need to go in and just go through this social equity cleansing, woketopia cleansing of dictionary, spoken word, the whole nine yards. I don't know where this ends.
Yeah, I don't either, man. But I appreciate your show, Sheriff. I really do like it, and I really like your commentary.
All righty, David. Be safe today on No Filter Friday. Hope you have a great weekend. Want to hear from you, 260-1870. Want to hear something that really ticked you off this week? We talked yesterday about folks out there on 22nd Street. They're upset. Their street's only a foot and a half higher than their sidewalk and their driveway. And they're now doing water flow analysis out there. The city's revealed they're only able to be to remove 2% of the debris where they have located those cars and shopping baskets and everything else. I wish we would stop throwing garbage in the canals. It's not a trash receptacle. Trash receptacles are typically a little smaller than the canals, so they're easy to identify. So be smart about the disposal of your trash and think of others, not just what's easy for you. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. Maybe not. Welcome to the club. Been there, done that, Rod. All right, No Filter Friday. Want to hear from you, 260-1870. What has ticked you off? We just talked about, you know, non-believers saying they're insulted when believers send thoughts and prayers after a tragedy. On a text line, Newell, I'm not religious, but the thoughts and prayers refrain after the weekly mass shooting has become passé. Really? Why can't we just look into people's hearts? And that's just a way that people express themselves. It's kind of, I guess, in many ways, safe. It is short. But does it make it any less sincere? And where are we going with all of this? Where atheists and others are offended by it. I'll tell you where we're going. Been getting a lot of texts because the other day I said I was going to talk about this California travel ban. So the state of California has actually started putting other states on travel bans so that California state employees, employees of public universities, of government, and others cannot travel to those states for conferences. I don't know if there's an exception for football games or sports-related activities because we've been trying to find out. It started under Governor Brown. It's now continuing under Governor Newsom. So Iowa just got on the list. And Iowa got on the list because they are refusing to allow taxpayer-funded gender transition surgeries. You're free to have a gender transition surgery in Iowa. They're just not going to pay for it under Medicaid or any of the other state-funded insurance programs. It's excluded. It's one of those types of surgeries that if you decide you want to have it, you have to pay for it, like a lot of the other cosmetic surgeries. So Iowa is now on the California travel ban list, and they're joined by Alabama, Kentucky, North Carolina, Texas, Oklahoma, and Mississippi. And we've been getting a lot of texts wanting Louisiana to be listed as well to the California travel ban list, and there are a lot of folks that believe that we would be better for it. I was actually born in California, so I take that personally. I am offended by that comment, so much so I went back to California and had to drink some of their wine in Napa just last week and enjoyed every second of it. But be that as it may, they now have a travel ban list. Now, if you recall, they were all up in arms about travel ban lists when the president talked about it, and it's been done on many occasions in many regards, and that's an issue. But now we're just travel banning our own states with our own citizens, by the United States of California. And whatever it is that they want to do, it's okay. We can put them on a travel ban and they not spend their money in these particular states. I would suspect that the list is going to start growing exponentially because there's any number of issues now that they're talking about with sanctuary. If you're not a sanctuary city, there's any number of issues that they're trying to push this national agenda of any number of issues. And if you don't align with the thinking in California, you get on the list. And that's all fine and dandy, but a lot of this is just talking about taxpayer funding of a whole lot of different issues. And why is it that each state is not allowed to set their own priorities as to how they're going to fund certain things? We're only $1.5 billion behind on infrastructure. We have D and F rated bridges. We have D rated highways. We can't figure out how to improve that. But in many respects, someone wanting to have a certain type of surgery, that has to take priority over all of the other needs that we have in this state. But California feels like their prioritization model is one that should be adopted by every state, and therefore every other state is flawed in their perspective. So they want to make sure and ensure that not a single dollar of their taxpayer money is spent in that state. And that's fine. They have every right to do that. I suspect that, as I said before, there are more and more states that want to get on the list. On your program yesterday, on the text line or before, car breakings, guys saying, well, murders are down, so that car breakings are just something of an aggravation. No, that's wrong. You're right. That's wrong. I don't know who said that, but that's wrong. It's not an aggravation. They're taking your property. They're stealing your money. It is an aggravation, but that's not all it is. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot where And I brought it up in the context of schools. And this issue has come up again here locally. Fighting at John Aaron High School prompts outcry from parents and community leaders. Yeah. Billy North, who used to be the football coach, I think, at Aaron for a number of years, and he's a Jefferson Parish School Board member who spent about 25 years as football coach and athletic director, he said exactly what I've been saying. School is a microcosm of the community. I just think some of our young people, the way they solve their problems is through physical altercations. It's not one answer, it's not one thing, and it's not an easy fix. The school community is a reflection of the neighborhood at large. If their notion of conflict resolution is demented and bastardized, guess what it's going to be when they walk on the school campus? They don't go through this metal detector that has a moral compass cleansing agent that covers them, and none of it is going to happen on the school campus. So the expectations of remediation, intervention, and otherwise on one side of the fence ought to hold true on the inside of the fence as well. But not only here, throughout the country, we're trying to figure out another system to deal with this. And if these young adults and kids understand that there's not going to be consequence for their action on the inside of the fence, what makes anybody believe that their behavior is going to be modified? So we're doing away with school suspensions. We're doing away with in-school suspensions. We're doing away with folks that are expelled, because no matter how many chances you give them, they still don't modify their behavior. Because in many's eyes, it's a fundamental right to be able to go to school and be a disruptor to all the other students. That's a fundamental right. It's guised under, it's a fundamental right to receive an education. But if this particular student is fundamentally flawed in the way that they view the world, I guess they have a First Amendment right to express that on our campuses and make and create an environment where no other student is free to take advantage of all of the fine things that our public school teachers, who have to put up with all of this crap, are trying to teach our kids day in and day out. And they end up spending more time dealing with discipline issues as opposed to instructing, having meaningful conversation, utilizing the Socratic method, challenging folks so that there can be a development of independent thinking skills. And just think how far these students can go if that was the case. Let's go to line one, talk to Ronald. What say you, Ronald?
Hey, good morning. Oh, how you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
Oh, I'm hanging in as usual. You know, Newell, I grew up in the 60s, okay? Black schools were highly disciplined. I grew up in St. Louis. You didn't fight because you got your butt whooped by the teacher or the principal. See, it was corporal punishment. And it just, it breaks my heart to say this, but every time the population becomes predominantly Afro-American, we have fights. We have disruption. Then we go back to the 400 years ago. Well,
but Ronald, let me stop you right there. You want to know something?
Yeah.
After having served in law enforcement for 40 years, race is not really the determining factor, because when you go to areas where, you know, the racial makeup of the population is different, you got the same fights. This is a notion of conflict resolution.
I understand what you're saying, but
no, obviously you don't understand what I'm saying, because you are making the distinction right off the bat, and it doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with setting of these kids' moral compass. It's race neutral, it's race blind. And, you know, it doesn't matter. You can go to any particular area, and whatever the majority race is there, there's going to be a disproportionate number of folks in that race that are engaging in this same activity. I've looked at it. And the statistics bear out.
You look at JP.
I don't look at just JP. I never look at just JP. I look at all over the country.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. But then look at Baltimore. Look at Chicago. They murdered a 9-year-old boy because they said somebody, his father, was involved in a murder.
Sure, I get it.
This 9-year-old child. I mean, when is enough enough? Out there where you were, a man took a hammer and beat a woman, a 10-year-old, and a young niece to death.
I get that.
See,
I get that.
And
it just so happens that in that particular case, they happen to be black. I can go to L.A. and pick very similar stories, and it just so happens that in that case, it'll be Hispanic. I can go into Iowa and pull out cases, and in that case, it just so happens that the perpetrator's gonna be white. So the fact of the matter is that, you know, we often wonder why we're all wrapped up in this race issue. Race is just a descriptor. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It's the environment, too. See, when you have people that don't respect human life and think you owe them something, and you got 15, 16-year-olds out at 3 o'clock in the morning.
You think that's unique to a race?
I'm only speaking because I live in New Orleans.
But the question is, do you think that that's unique to a race?
You have crime in every race. I agree with you, Noel.
Okay. Well, then talk about it in that context.
Well, I can see it in that context, but I'm being affected. You mentioned earlier about, you know, people's property being taken, all that. The effect it has. When the average deductible out here where I live at for homeowners is $2,000. So when your car is broken into, they charge you $1,000. You got to pay $1,000 out of your budget.
Oh, I understand.
The insurance companies don't go by reports and break-ins, you know, statistics. They go by zones. They told me you live in 70128. That zone is high risk throughout the entire zone. See, police doesn't help the factor. The response time, you know, the patrolling, you know, it's horrible.
Well, I understand your frustration, but I just, in order to be true to the issue, we don't start with race. That's all I'm saying, Ronald. Thank you so much for the call. We got to get to a break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. On a Blue Runner opinion poll, some non-believers say they're insulted when believers send thoughts and prayers after a tragedy. Will this make you hesitate to do so? 100% of the respondents say no. It will not have them hesitate to do so. And that's kind of where I fall. If you don't want to accept the thoughts and a prayer, just drop it and move on. But it's an expression of my heart, of my mind, an expression of feelings and when we send those out. And then on a text line, someone says, dude, don't be ignorant. People are tired of hearing people in government offer thoughts and prayers rather than actually doing anything provocative to lessen the occurrence of mass shootings. Thoughts and prayers aren't a solution, and people want to hear solutions, plans of action, policy, etc. Thoughts and prayers don't address the problem. Since when is a personal expression mutually exclusive? It can only be one or the other. It doesn't make any sense to me. It seems to me that's very short-sighted as well, especially when you're talking about members of the legislative branch of government who control one vote and one vote only, and who, by the way, represents their district. In the viewpoint of their district, and they have an obligation to listen to the citizens of voting members of both citizens and voting members of their district in order to reach a point where they may fall out on a particular issue. Now, I'm fully aware, I may not align with your way of thinking. I get that. And maybe you can do what California does and you can issue a travel ban for all those people that don't align with you. You can announce that you're not going to travel to their state and express it that way. But to say that offering thoughts and prayers, that just doesn't do anything. Yeah, it does something spiritually for everybody. And I think we've just lost all sense of human decency in this country where we're now questioning the offering of thoughts and prayers. It means you care. it doesn't necessarily mean that you have the silver bullet solution. And in life, it's rare that there are. And that these issues are more complicated than not. So why would one want to preclude receiving thoughts and prayers in the aftermath of a tragedy, whether it be a mass shooting or not? Also, last night was the governor's debate. Love to know what you're thinking about that. 260-1870 or text 870-870. Kind of struck me not much of a difference at all in what was articulated as to solutions. And in some cases, I thought there were no solutions that were offered up. Obviously, the governor's running on a record. So, you know, he's put forth a either in concert with the legislature or on his own by executive order, any number of proposals and or solutions to certain issues. The other two candidates, no, because they're not in that position to do so, and talked about things from a policy perspective and not to favor one or the other, but I thought last night it was, I don't know, to start the debate off on e-cigarettes to me was disappointing. Yes, it's an important issue. Yes, it's something that is a new trend. However, they are still neck deep in trying to do the research as it relates to these deaths, what the ultimate cause was, what's going on with this new phenomenon or relatively new phenomenon of e-cigarettes. It holds true with the same with the relatively new phenomenon of marijuana from a scientific standpoint, because there hadn't been a lot of studies on marijuana because of its scheduling by the FDA. The FDA, though, just announced the other day that they've increased the amount of, not the FDA, the DEA, increased the amount of marijuana made available in order to conduct studies. And they're putting the studies of marijuana on the fast track. So in the very near future, we're going to find out more about the physiological effects of that. And so I was disappointed that we started on that question. And that kind of set the tone, I think, for the rest of the debate. It seemed flat to me. And it just didn't seem like they had a lot of flow. And I thought that the poll question, you know, when the poll actually embraced and aligned with pretty much the answers of all three candidates to say whether or not that would change their position, well, why would it? It's embracing what they said. It was kind of like, have it in there if it doesn't, but if it does, drop it. Move on to another more probative question and get the opportunity. And in the end, they ended up running out of time and not covering one topic and had to go to their final statements. Want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. We're back. We'll go to line one. Derek, what say you, Derek? Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey, another thing. You know, what are they going to do? They're gonna ban it. They're gonna take it from the people. You're gonna have these politicians telling you, hell yeah, we're gonna take their e-cigarettes. Hell yeah, we're gonna take their flavors and all from them. What are they studying? Of course, everybody in the common sense knows that breathing in some kind of smoke with flavor in it has a problem. It's definitely going to cause a problem. Anybody knows that. I mean, why are they giving us a study? I mean, it's just another thing that the politicians are going to harp on and try to do something to gain a vote. That's all it's about. These individual people that do this, you know, kill the whole industry. Take them off the market. Take cigarettes off the market. If you want to save everybody, take everything off the market.
Yeah, it would seem to me that enforcement needs to be improved upon, you know, for those that are underage that are doing it. And I get the connection there, but it is a personal choice. There's so many things out there that are inherently dangerous, right? That we allow people to make the choice to go do all the time. When do we pick and choose what it's going to ultimately be? I don't know if it's a health hazard, maybe. I'm not sure. Alcohol's a health hazard. They haven't really dealt with that. I get that argument. It's going to be interesting to see how this one plays out, though, Derek. But I agree. It could be the next move. We're taking your e-cig. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.